Mark Seidel with your ESPN SportsCenter update.
Ditch the burgers and fries and go Greek. Stefano's Greek and Mediterranean Grill with three valley-wide locations is the perfect alternative. And talk about convenience. You can place your order online at stefanoslv.com. Stefano's, real food, real fast, real healthy.
Need your voice to be heard? Text ESPN to 69187 and get your message through to the crew. Now, back to Cofield and Company.
All right, rolling into the 4 o'clock hour, Ryan McKinnell. Big Mac is here. It's Cofield, Cozy Paradis. Good conversations there. We'll have him podcasted after the show, up on Twitter, up on Facebook. Derek Stevens joined us as they have the Fan Fest going down for the Vegas Golden Knights. That was the Fan Fest that was canceled.
Right.
Because the maniac shooting at 600 people ruined more than a week. Lots of weeks, lots of lives. But they canceled it, so now we get it. As VGK will be back on the ice this weekend, and the players will be out there.
Connor McDavid on Saturday.
On Sunday, 3 to 5, downtown, 3rd Street stage. So we got some breaking news. Nothing crazy. And we heard whispers of this yesterday. Raiders are... The NFL is going to look at the Raiders for the way the Gruden thing went down with Jack Del Rio, because once it leaked by Sheffy, Adam Schefter, that Gruden was going to be the guy, the Raiders immediately went into repair mode, and they're like, no. We're interviewing a diverse group of candidates. And then Gruden said, well, I hope I'm in the running. I think they're considering me.
Yeah, they tried.
So they were trying to adhere to the Rooney Rule, but now the story was out yesterday that Gruden was hired by Mark Davis before Del Rio was fired, so clearly they weren't able to interview in an open process other candidates. So we'll see what happens with that. I'm guessing they're going to get a fine. I'm guessing Raiders fans, some Raiders brass, some Raiders media will fire back and say this is ridiculous, but a rule is a rule, and I do understand that, as some people have said, I think it was Paul Gutierrez, UNLV guy and ESPN.com Raiders insider, if there's any team that actually should be given a break, it's the Raiders. And actually, the Rooney Rule should be the Al Davis Rule, because Al Davis is the guy who actually practiced the Rooney Rule before everyone else was forced to get a little more diverse, you know, open their mind to different candidates. He's the guy who hired Tom Flores. He's the guy who hired Art Schell. He's the guy who hired Amy Trask to be at the top of the organization.
Yeah,
the other breaking news.
Oh, go ahead.
I want your comment on that.
No, see, I feel like they should get a pass for the Art Schell hiring. They're one of the few teams, as you said. Al Davis was on the forefront of this for decades.
But you do understand it sets, it sets a dangerous precedent, because other teams need to follow it, too.
I feel like it was the Patriots they'd be getting dragged across the coals, though.
You think?
Yeah, sure. Everyone loves to hate the Patriots.
I don't know what Gradel would do with the Patriots with the next violation. Who knows? Other breaking news. Alabama is going to lose some players, so it's now official. Saban confirming that Calvin Ridley, the wide receiver, Deron Payne, the wide body who caught a touchdown pass in the semis, he's gone. Minka Fitzpatrick, he's gone. And F. Trump guy is gone. Did you see Bo Scarborough?
Oh, absolutely.
The running back who's
coming
out of the tunnel, and he's like, F. Trump! And then the next day he's like, I said Georgia. No, you didn't.
Yeah, there's video.
Hey, you didn't. We could all hear it. Yeah. Trump, Georgia, not even close.
Stick with it, Bo. You're gone. You're away from Alabama now. You don't need to worry about these people. Be free. Fly.
He'll be intriguing. He'll be an intriguing draft prospect.
To see if he falls? Or are you just saying in general?
What do you think? Do you think he'll fall?
I hope not. But with the amount of scrutiny that a team could face, you know, I wouldn't be surprised. The era or the year we're living in, the decade we're living in, Scarborough took some heat for that.
There is a fear in the league with running backs who are too small, but there's also a fear with running backs that you're too big and that you run too upright. Now, the guy who was big and ran upright, who they criticized coming out of college, who had the most success, was Eric Dickerson. The guy who Scarborough could remind some of is Nick Bell, who played at Iowa, who was a giant. Bo Scarborough is 6'2", 236.
Yeah, big boy.
So,
If anything, I'd want to take him for speaking his mind and for being a apparent leader.
The NFL?
Yes.
The NFL wants
he's
to do that?
Well, I mean, listen. He, fair point. Yeah. But I know, I mean, he's a man. Like, he clearly lives by his own set of rules, and he doesn't care if someone doesn't like it. He's going to say what he wants to say. But he did backtrack the Georgia line. That's concerning.
Stick with it.
Well, come on.
All-Star break coming up in a couple of weeks. The announcement was made that two Vegas Golden Knight players would be on the roster. Gary Lawless covers the team. He's the Vegas Golden Knights insider, and he joins Cofield and Big Mac here on this Thursday. What's up, Gary?
Hey, fellas, how's it going?
We're good, man. Hey, thanks, Gary, for being patient, waiting a couple minutes. So, first, your reaction to the All-Star selections of Fleury and James Neal.
I think excellent choices. I think they had, a lot of other guys they could have taken, too. Fleury, I spoke to him yesterday, and, he was quite clear. He said, they could have taken Marchessault. They could have taken Will Carlson. They had lots of choices. So, turns out really well for the organization, and it's going to be exciting to have three representatives there, Gerard Gallant and Fleury and Neal.
Do you think it was a bit, Gary, a bit of a legacy pick on their part to give Neal and Fleury the picks rather than Marchessault and Carlson? Obviously, Marchessault leading the team in points. Carlson, one of only, I think, five players with over 20 goals or six players with over 20 goals. I think they were the more sexy picks, the more hardcore fan picks. Do you think Neal and Fleury were a bit of a legacy pick? Get the names there?
Wouldn't describe them as legacy picks. I think, Neal has 18 goals.
Yeah.
Fleury might... Fleury's numbers are the best in the NHL right now. So, listen, Colin Campbell gets on the phone and calls around and tries to figure out what the best fit is for the NHL and for each organization. And this worked out best. I think it's always cool to have lots of guys that were involved in the Stanley Cup the year before. At the All-Star game, and obviously Fleury and Neal were in the finals, so I think that has some weight. And these are established big names in the NHL.
Now, our coach Gerard Gallant left on the side of the road in Florida, disposed of in the most disrespectful ways possible. Now, he's a close to the vest kind of guy. He's a deflector. What's your gauge on that? Do you think this is some sort of vindication for him to be the head coach of this team and get this placement in the All-Star game?
I think that the minute Gerard got hired by Vegas, he probably turned the page on Florida. And, you can't live in the past and do the kind of job that he does. You can't have bitterness in your heart and be the kind of upbeat, positive coach that he is. But the night of the All-Star game when he's introduced and he walks out onto the ice in Florida, not in Miami, but in Florida,
right?
Somewhere in his heart of hearts, there'll be a little bit of a snicker for sure. He's one of the best coaches in the National Hockey League. Why they did what they did in Florida to him is beyond me. It didn't make sense then, and it doesn't make sense now. And, if I'm Dale Talon, it would probably keep me up at nights looking at the Vegas Golden Knights box scores every night and seeing Riley Smith and Will Carlson Riley Smith and Jonathan Marchessault doing the things they're doing for Vegas and being coached by Gerard Gallant. It would bother me.
I love that line. You can't have bitterness in your heart and coach like this. If I were the coach, this team would be in last place. I would have no shot. I'd be so pissed off. I'd be so driven to prove him wrong. You're right. I'd probably be a complete flop. Plus, I'm not really super knowledgeable on hockey, so I couldn't coach a hockey team. Gary Lawless is with us. Gary, so with that said, I want you to explain to the masses in Vegas the formats, the rosters. What are they doing now at the All-Star game that, because they do change it up, but what's unique about the way this thing is set up now?
Yeah, so Friday night they have skills competition and everybody's involved in it, and then they have a 3-on-3 tournament, and all the divisions You know, there's a team representing the Pacific, the Central, the Atlantic, and the Metro, and they play a tournament of three-on-three, and it's pretty cool. It's, you know, the All-Star game got to a point where hitting and forechecking and playing with emotion is key to making hockey what it is. And when you take those elements out, like you kind of have to in an All-Star game, it really sucks the life out of a hockey game. So Chris King, one of the VPs with the NHL, he said, why don't we have a 3-on-3 tournament? And at first it was like, nah, that won't work. And then they thought about it and they said, well, let's try it. And they did, and it's made the All-Star weekend worth watching again, as far as I'm concerned.
Was it something you had to warm up to? Did you hate it initially? And do you know any, because you're a longtime voice in hockey and media dude around the sport, do you know other hockey voices, hockey experts who are like, I hate this, or they just hated it? Because there are traditionalists out there who won't accept anything new.
Yeah, you know, at the time when it was first announced, there was a lot of people that were sort of like, this is going to suck. And then, they got the perfect script the first year. John Scott was voted in by the fans.
Right.
And he went out and won the MVP. And it was, you know, it was, it gave it that Disney moment that they needed to get it started. And then since then, it's been, it's really been viewed as a great event.
Are we going to get, other All-Star games, you have people drop out and it's not the ceremony, I guess, that it is for other sports and for other players. Is there a chance we see another Vegas Golden Knight added to this roster at the end?
I guess there's always a chance. Someone can get hurt, right?
Right.
And with Marchessault and Carlson not on the roster, there's a possibility. But, those guys are playing a lot more hockey than they've ever played in their NHL careers. And that might George McPhee might want those guys to get the rest.
Yeah,
and
interesting.
That's always a factor as well.
What is in the skills competition? What is the participation level? Does everyone want in that, or does it turn into something like the NBA, where you've got a bunch of dudes who are like, no dunk contest, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that.
No. Everybody gets an opportunity to be part of it. Yeah, it's cool.
All right, Gary, set us up for what's going on at this Fan Fest. What's going down on Sunday between 3 and 5 downtown?
Yeah, it's going to be really cool. It is 3 to 5 on Fremont. There's going to be a red carpet, and fans are going to get the opportunity to be up front and close with members of the Vegas Golden Knights. Gerard Gallant will be there, Bill Foley, our president, Kerry Buchholz. It's going to be... it's sort of this mid-season opportunity to get up and to hang with the Golden Knights. So there's a red carpet, and then there's also main stage on 3rd Street in front of the D. There'll be a bunch of activities there as well.
One last thing, whether it happens at the Fan Fest or over at City National. You get to talk to all these players. Who's the guy who you find the most intriguing in casual conversation that you would say, if you're a fan, you get to talk to this guy for a couple minutes, go talk to him?
Well, Nate Schmidt is, he's got, he's loony some days, right? So you go in there and you just don't know what's going to happen. Some days I walk in there and he's like, give me the microphone, Gary. I'm taking over. And he starts asking me questions. So Nate is very interesting. I like all the guys. I've been really, it's been really cool. When we went to the hospitals at Christmas and the players were visiting with children at the children's hospital, Marc-Andre Fleury and Derek England, just to see them, the empathy and the way they dealt with the kids, David Perron, I was really impressed with those guys. James Neal's a cool dude. I work with them every day, and I kind of mix it up on a day-to-day basis. And I think that I think you'll be pleasantly not pleasantly surprised. You'll be pleased with whoever you get the opportunity to chat with.
Gary, we appreciate the spot. Thanks for being this, being there as always. And I hope you enjoyed the break. I hope you got a little time off, got to relax.
You know what? I just picked up two of my first cousins that I haven't seen in a long time, and my mom and dad and my brother and his wife are in town, so we're going to put some steaks on the grill and drink some Foley family wine and have a good time.
Right? Enjoy the chilly 58-degree weather.
This is gorgeous here. We're enjoying it, man.
Amazing.
Have a good one, guys.
Thanks, Gary. There you go. Gary Lawless, at Gary Lawless. Lawless in order. You see him during the games on TV. You can also hear him on the radio call with Dan Duva.